I'm on. The Lord wants me to tell somebody that if you feel like it's not working out, don't go by your feelings. Greater is He that's in you than that guy that's in the world. That lets me know when you use that word greater, there's not but two. There's not but two. And He's greater. He's stronger than the strong man that binds your house and your thoughts. He said, how can a man take over a house unless he first bind that strong man? Then he can spoil it. He's greater than whatever's troubling you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're made an overcomer by the word of our testimony. See, God wants you to get through this. That's why I'm saying don't go by your feelings. God wants you to get through this so you'll have a testimony on the other side. But you can't have a testimony without a test. Hallelujah. I've often said if you don't want to go through the test, you'll just have the moaning without the test. How many of you believe in a life of separation? I'm not talking about from your spouse. And I'm talking about a life separated from sin, separated from iniquity, separated from evil, separated from evildoers, backbiters and gossipers and all the works that separate, a separated life. Anytime that there was any question that went out, the Lord always called for a day of separation. Even the last day, is that what it not is? It's a day of separation. The final day is a day of separation. Sheep, goats, wheat, tares. And one time they got a little hot at Moses. Moses was a little hot at them. Korah was rebelling against them. Things were going wrong. And Moses finally said, who's on the Lord's side? And I could say that tonight, and I said, who's on my side? Y'all raise your hands. But he went one step further. He said, let them come unto me. It's one thing to raise your hand in the crowd and say, I'm with you. But he said, walk with me. And the Bible says the tribe of the Levites drew near. The priesthood, the godly people said, I'm with you. You know, if you got godly people on your side, all hell can come out against you. I don't need but me and one other good prayer partner, and we can take on hell. Hallelujah. Two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I'm right there in the midst. Oh, my God. Amen. Good to see you, Natalie. So excited. I've been telling everybody. Hallelujah. About you and your husband. Amen. And I'll be in Bible study with the Spells tomorrow. So pray for that as well. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 43:15. If I stumble tonight, y'all just say amen. Pick me up anyway. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. This, of course, speaks of the crossing of the Red Sea, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army, and the power. They shall lie down together. The horses, the chariots, the army, and all their weapons of power will go down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. Say extinct with me. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. That's like flax. It's like putting a candle underwater. It's history. It won't burn underwater. So he says, remember. Now he said, I want you to remember, I'm the Lord. I'm the Holy One. I'm the Creator of Israel. And I'm your King. But remember not those former things. Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You're not even going to see it coming. It's just going to spring forth. Shall ye not know it when it comes? You're going to know. It's from God. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When you see a river in the desert, you know it's me. It's just going to spring forth out of the sand. And you're going to say, oh my God, look at this. I didn't see this coming. I want to talk to you for a little while with this thought. Kill the memory. Kill the memory. Remember not the former things. Kill the memory. God, I'm thankful for your blessings tonight. I'm thankful for this little Bible study where we can come together in peace and harmony and expound on your word. Teach us, Lord, as we go forth to be more like you in every word that we read from this Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Israel went through some hard times at the hands of the Egyptians in their time of bondage, just like some of you did when you were in the world. I mean, when you get free, sometimes you don't know how bad you had it until you get free. And then once you get free, you realize how bad that struggle really was. And so God is reminding them. He said, I want you to remember that I am the Holy One. I am your creator, and I am the King, and I am your Lord. I want you to remember me, but I want you to remember how I brought you across the Red Sea. I made a way where there was no way. I want you to remember that I parted the Red Sea. I'm not asking you to forget that. I want you to remember that I made a path for you to cross on across dry ground. He reminds them of how he drew Pharaoh into the belly of the sea, and then he allowed the sea to close back on them. And he drowned them all, the horses, the rider, and all of their power, the whole army. He says, I want to remind you that I did those things for you. But now listen close, y'all. It's extinct. They're not here anymore. It's over. I think some of you need to create your own extinct list. Things, people, and places that need to be over. It's under the water. He did not want them to forget the victory. He wanted them to forget the pain of the past. The Bible says that when they got across the Red Sea, then sang they the songs of Zion. They began to sing. Miriam got her tambourine out, and they began to sing how God had triumphed them over the enemies and how that he had been glorious to them. And they began to sing songs to exalt him, saying, God is a man of war. He is our Lord. Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen are under the sea. They sank as a stone. They sank as lead under the water. They go on to say that, God, you blew your nose. He said, you blew your nostrils. You blew your nose. And the seas opened up. And they congealed all the way down to the floor of the sea. And you drew them out. And you brought them in right in front of us. We were watching them. Lord, how long are they going to chase us on the other side? And you blew your nose again. And when you blew your nostrils again, it closed up on them. Oh, praise God, you brought us across on the other side. So the enemy that we see, you shall see. Now, I want to do a new thing. And if you're going to keep being scared of the old thing, see, this is what he's telling them. I want to do a new thing. I'm telling you, remember I'm God. Remember the victories. Remember how you sang. Remember how I did it. But if it's extinct, it's extinct. I want to do a new thing, but I cannot do a new thing if you keep on remembering the pain, the suffering, and how the world did to me. And oh, my mama dropped me when I was 3, and that's why I'm like, if you want to keep remembering all that and not remember how God delivered you, I want to do a new thing, but I can't do it as long as you want to draw up all that old past pain. God wanted them to remember that he did not, listen close, did not just defeat the enemy, he destroyed the enemy. And there is a big difference between defeating something and destroying something. When you defeat it, it can rise again. But when you destroy it, that enemy that you see, you shall see no more. And he destroyed them, the horsemen, and all of this, forget it. Extinct. See, there is a difference between, whether you know it or not, forget and not remembering. The difference between forgetting and not remembering. Something that is forgotten can be drawn up again. Oh, I just forgot it. But if it's not in your memory, you understand? I want you to remember this. I brought you across the Red Sea, but we're going to wipe out the memory of the past. Not forget it, not remember it. Because if you want to draw it up, you can. Then it's just forgotten. But I want to wipe it out and let's call it extinct. Let's start over with a new thing. Too many times we defeat the enemy, but never destroy the enemy. We win the battle and not the war. And anytime you defeat an enemy of any kind, unless you utterly destroy it, it has the capability of rising up again. If you will finally get to the place with the things you struggle with that you not defeat them, but destroy them, then you can say the benediction and go on. It's like one man told me, he said, and I've told you this before, he caught me between the pews one day, a long time ago. And he said, "Brother Baggett, I need you to pray." I said, "Well, what you want me to pray about?" He said, "Brother, I am fighting these cigarettes." He said, I want to quit. I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray that the Lord helps you quit these cigarettes." I said, "When you get home," he said, just flush them down the commode. He said, "Well, brother, I just bought this carton." He said, "Now, when I'm through with that carton," he said, "that's what I'm going to do." Well, he didn't have anything to flush when he got through with that carton. Can I tell you today, many years later, he still, why? It was not defeated. I mean, it was defeated, but not destroyed. You've got to destroy some things. Paul said it this way: mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify means to utterly destroy. Not break into pieces where you can put it back together again, but to utterly destroy. Because God wants to do a new thing for you, but as long as you hang on to the souvenirs of the past to remind you of the past, you're going to remember, "Oh, yeah, that's right. That I like that guy. Yeah, we used to have a good time, he and I." Why is God going to give you a new man in your life, a new woman in your life? A new day. Why does he want to do that when all you're hanging on to is the souvenirs of sin? Oh, I'm sorry. I might be stepping on some toes. But all them old phone numbers and all them old people, they need to go if you want God to do a new thing in your life. God will not do new things in your life till you quit remembering the past. What did Paul say? And he used the word forget. He said, "I want to forget the things that are behind me and stretch forth with the things that are ahead." And when you destroy the enemy, listen close, when it is extinct, fear leaves. Worry leaves. Oppression leaves. Depression leaves. Because it's extinct. I mean, anybody worried about a dinosaur? Let me see your hand. Let me see. How many of y'all worried about a dinosaur attacking you tonight? Anybody got up, got your gun out? You ready? I imagine there was a day cavemen said had a watch. "Now you watch while I sleep, ugh. And I'll sleep while you watch, ugh." And they were worried. But last time I checked, there are no dinosaurs. Are you understanding me? So we don't worry about them. There are some things in your life that need to be dinosaur. They need to be over with, completely extinct, where there's no way I'm worried about it. I'm not depressed about it. I'm not oppressed about it. You know why? It's over. Oh, hallelujah. This is okay. So if you'll destroy it, then whatever you face tomorrow, it won't be that. If you destroy it, completely destroy it, you'll have new enemies, but it won't be that one. It won't be that one because it's over. So don't hang on. Can I go a little deeper, meddle just a little bit? Don't hang on to the worldly CDs and musics and things that used to bring you to the wrong places. Don't put them on the shelf. Burn them. Throw them in the lake or the sea or give them to me and I'll do it for you without even listening to it. Old pictures. You don't need a picture when you were drunk one time. What you doing with that? You just may find another fifth of whiskey. Just get rid of it. It's not destroyed. It may be forgotten, but you still remember where it's at. Lord, I want you to wipe out the memory of the former days. You know how far you'll go in God? You keep wiping out the memories of the past. God will keep bringing you into new days, new days, new days, new days. Even when I come to God, like this young lady and her husband, I've come a long way since then. I've had a lot of things that I've had to forget and go on, and mistakes that I've made, even since I found God. But I can't go. God doesn't bring you on till you quit dabbling with the past. Can I go a little deeper? Never go into your future tied to the memories of your past. Never let the past bleed over into the future. It'll bruise your future, and it will destroy any type of relationship that you had. If you're going to go on, untangle yourself from the memories of the past and destroy those ropes. Now listen, Israel fought all kinds of enemies on their journey. They weren't really warriors. They were slaves. But as soon, Brother Valentine, as they got out of Egyptian bondage, it wasn't long they were out of water. And they complained to Moses, there was strife in the camp, and they no longer got the water down to drink that the Lord had given them in the valley of Rephidim, that Amalek showed up. And he said, I hate Amalek. I mean, they fought Moabites, Hittites, Hazarites, and all kinds of parasites. They fought them all. But the Lord said, I hate these Amalekites. The reason he hated them, they didn't fight fair. You know, I mean, I don't like fighting, but if we're going to fight, if I got nothing in my hands, I want you to have nothing in your hands. You got a gun in your hands? Give me a gun. Let's fight fair. And they didn't fight fair. What they do, they would hit you when you were out of water. They'd hit you when there was strife in the camp. They'd hit you when there was church trouble going on. They'd hit you in the middle of marriage problems. They'd hit you when your son's out, stretched out on crack cocaine. They'd hit you when you were weak. They didn't fight fair. God said, I hate them. We're going to have to get rid of them. We're going to have to get rid of them. And so they find themselves in this valley, a place called Rephidim, and Amalek attacks them. And so he said, Moses, tell Joshua to go down to the valley and fight in the valley. And you and her, and which was a guy's name, Ur, I think is how they spell it. And who's the other one? Aaron. Y'all go up there and hold Moses' hands up, right? And while you got his hands up, we're going to fight. I'm going to fight him in the valley. So they held his hands up, but when they got tired of holding his hands up, they would come down. But as long as they were up, Joshua was prevailing. Joshua was moving forward. But when his hands would get tired and they would go down, Joshua was losing and he was backing up. So they got a stone. They sat on the stone and they raised his arms up. And the Bible says, now listen close, they defeated them.